Good morning. Welcome to Franconia Mennonite Church. It is good to be together with you all here this morning. My name is Pastor Kyle, and we welcome those here that are in the parking lot, those that are gathered in their homes watching online, those that are going to be watching the service later on. It is good to be here this morning, and we're glad that you're here. Just want to highlight that those that are watching in the parking lot from your cars, if you can hear me and you have a question about what dial tone to turn to, the station is 106.7 FM. I'd like to also highlight that over the past couple weeks, as we started the process of regathering here at Franconia, I've been reminded about how good it is for us to gather together as the church. It is good that we get together this morning as a group of believers to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to gather as one body with many parts prepared to do the work of God. It is good to gather because we recognize that God has united us and He is our center. And it is good to get together to grow as a community, to spread the good news to our community beyond these church doors, to the community and the world. So as we prepare for worship, I ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for being everything, Lord, that we cannot be. We thank you that we can lean on you to give us strength and wisdom to know that you, Lord Jesus, are the perfect foundation, our cornerstone. We thank you for the opportunity to worship outside in your creation, which is an example of your greatness and how great you truly are. Father, we take time to pray for those who are watching for the first time or are here for the first time as a guest. And we pray, Father God, that this worship, which is all for you, it's not for us, Lord, it is for you. We pray that this worship can be an eye-opening experience for those that are here for the first time, or maybe even those that are here for the 20th time. May we all awake and see your greatness. Father, we pray that this time of worship honors and glorifies you, adds to your kingdom. We pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing.
So if you're able and you want to, you can go ahead and stand. I mean, there's something about like worshiping together. Hello, Franconia. My name is Jay Kratz. I'm glad to be here with you today. We are going to worship our God. All right, let's do that together. So this song is called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You have words in the program. Come on, let's sing together.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung my flaming tongues above. Praise a mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Yeah. I was lost, come on.
I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me.
Yes.
I was bound by all my sins when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
Come on, sing that again.
Come thou fount.
this song just continues to tell us what it is that we are saved from. So don't lose sight of that. This is all about giving praise to God. Come on.
I was lost in a great attempt, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee.
Yes.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Come now, fount.
Come now, fount. Come now, King. Come now, precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing.
One more time.
Come now, fount. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come now, fount of our blessing.
Yes, Lord. We want to be where you are, God. And your promise is that where two or three are gathered, here you are. There's more than two or three here, God. And you're faithful to your promise that where two or three are gathered, there you are, here you are in the midst of us. So, Father, no matter what we came to this place, no matter what we brought with us today, Father, we shake it off and we put our focus on you and you alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. When striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ, I worthy of every song I could ever sing.
You're worthy, God.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Come on, let's declare his worthiness.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, and we live for you.
Oh God, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus,
Jesus, the only one who could ever say,
you're worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, and we live for you, and we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show.
The name above all names. Come on, let's sing together, church. Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Come on, every voice lift it high.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
You're worthy, God.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, and we live for you.
Declare that you're worthy, God. We'll declare that you're worthy of all of our praise, God. There is none like you. You are good. You are faithful. You are a firm foundation.
So I will build my trust upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon you.
You may be seated.
I will put my trust in you alone, Lord, and I will not be shaken. We've given voice to our praise to God. I'd like us just to pause and pay attention to the sounds that are around us out of doors, the breeze, the sun, the people close by. Let's just, in a moment of silence, enter into God's presence here in, after we've expressed our worship, enter into acknowledging His Spirit among us. A moment of silence. Just pay attention. Invite the Lord Spirit to move. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Come be our guardian and our guide. Over every thought and step preside. Lead us to Christ, the living way. Don't let us from His pastures stray. Lead us to holiness, the road that we must take to dwell with God. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence among us. The wind blowing is a reminder that you are not fixed. You are not nailed down, but you are nonetheless a foundation and roots that on which we can live and move and be moved by you and discover who we really are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we also come acknowledging that we are very imperfect. We are sinful. We say proud and rebellious things. We express words of sharp judgment. We wander to places on the internet where we should not go. We get caught in the clutches of fear. We're tempted to hoard resources that need to be shared. We hang on to wrongs and injuries that need to be forgiven. Your scripture says very clearly, if we claim to be without sin, we're fooling ourselves and are liars. But when we confess our sin, you are faithful, God, and just, and forgive us our sins, and you clean us from all unrighteousness. Take our confession here, Lord, and make it real repentance. And in the name of Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, O Lord, forgive us. We thank you, Lord, for this gorgeous day. We thank you that Jay can be here among us, leading us in worship. We pray, we thank you for our families. We thank you for the church family. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your movement here among us. We come to you, Lord, with our petitions and intercessions for those who are suffering in body and mind, who are ill or have a chronic condition or feeling the ravages of old age. Lord, have mercy. For those facing dilemmas and decisions that are puzzling and tough, and they carry them here this morning, Lord, have mercy. For those who are lonely and caught in painful relational conflict, Lord, have mercy. For those scraping the bottom of the barrel financially and looking for work, Lord, have mercy. For those who are spiritually lost and trapped in sin and need to be rescued and saved, Lord, have mercy. We also pray for the youth service trip this week to Spruce Lake. Give them a great and a safe week of helping and serving others, and in the process, deepening their relationship to you. We pray for Jay Kratz and his family, and for our congregation as we get acquainted and we discern your leading. We pray also about moving our worship service back inside next Sunday. We pray for guidance and wisdom and grace in all of that. We think of our nation, the leaders, the stresses that are out there, the leadership that we need. Lord, we pray that our leaders will exercise that. And we pray for the church around the world, grateful that we are not just isolated here on this parking lot in Telford, but that we are connected by your Spirit and your people, your gospel, all the way around the world. You are a great God, a great King above all gods. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have just a couple announcements. In a few moments, we'll get better acquainted with Jay Kratz, who has been leading our worship. And as I mentioned in the prayer, we'll be moving our worship services back inside next Sunday. That's the plan. Look for more instructions coming out tomorrow and throughout the week. And I'm going to call on Kaylin Gouldy from the Spiritual Gifts Discernment Committee to share an announcement. Kaylin?
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Spiritual Gifts Discernment Committee to announce the names of our church board nominees. Just to recap, two board members have expiring terms. One is Lucy Landis, who is wishing to conclude her service on the board, and the other is Kevin Landis, who is eligible and willing to serve another term. The top nominees by the congregation are Glenn Berge, Andrew Landis, Dave Landis, Kevin Landis, and Carmen Leatherman. You will receive an email today that will announce these nominees again. Next Sunday, July 5th, you're going to receive an email ballot where each member can choose two of the five nominees. All votes must be in by July 12th. As always, you may call your selections into the church office. If you do not receive this email, please call the church office. And we ask that you not only continue to take this before the Lord and seek his lead, but to also pray for the nominees as they discern their call. Thank you.
I'd like to call Dave, come on up, and Jay, do a little bit of get acquainted. Take that microphone there, Dave. Dave is on the search team for director of worship and music. Take it away.
Hey, well, good morning. Maybe some of you are awake. It's good. I know the sun is hot. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It's good to see everybody here this morning, and I definitely want to just extend a warm welcome to my brother Jay. I first got to know Jay when we were hanging out together at Branch, and I've grown to love and appreciate who he is and how our great big God is continuing to refine each and every one of us. So I just want to give Jay opportunity just to share how his great big God is continuing to walk ahead of him and lead and guide and direct him, and basically just brag on his great Savior.
Yeah. Okay, I can do that. So it's really great to be here. I'm just going to share a little bit of my spiritual journey. And my spiritual journey actually begins in that building back there, the sewing building it was once called. I don't know what it is. as a third or fourth grader, I don't remember exactly what, third or fourth grader in VBS, I was encouraged to pray that Jesus would take my sins, that he would forgive me of my sins, and that I would be saved to a life for him. Now, I did not get baptized until I was in sixth grade, and I got baptized in what used to be the sanctuary, what's now the fellowship hall, in sixth grade. Because it's encouraged in this church to wait for experience and life before you show yourself to be making that commitment to Jesus. Now, the reason I'm telling you all that first is because what I've found, my experience in life is that there's a twofold situation. There's been a difference between salvation and redemption in my walk. I was saved. That's an event. And I believe that God keeps his own. I do believe that. But there's a process of walking out redemption. And redemption is more like, I said it was kind of like a backroads Pennsylvania journey, long and winding road out to Waxhaw and back kind of thing. That's kind of what redemption has been for me in my life, because life brings choices. And with those choices, you have opportunity. And I know that in my life, I have made choices that have hurt those that I love. And I've also had choices made by those that I love that have hurt me. I have sinned against God and against man. That is a part of my redemption journey. But here's the truth. I have the opportunity at every step of that way to either turn away from God and his forgiveness and walk in that direction. And in my years in ministry, I've seen people do that. Breaks my heart, because I think it breaks God's heart too. Or I can turn to God and walk to him and have him walk with me through that redemption process of making me into that person that that he has intended me, that he has created me to be. So no matter where any of us are in our redemptive journey, here's what I know. God is faithful to his word, and his word tells us that he is good. His word tells us that he is just, and his word tells us that he is faithful, and I've seen that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story there, a brief glimpse into your life. And as we've gotten acquainted with you on the search team over the last while, and you're here as a candidate for Director of Worship and Music, it's clear that music has been woven into your life story for a long, long time. And I'd be interested...
Hey, how long?
What do you tell me. That's what where the question is. You tell me. That's what I'd like to just invite you to talk about, how worship and music have been an essential part of your own sense of God's call on your life.
Most definitely. Exactly. So I learned to sing... four-part harmony here. I'd go through each of the four verses of the hymns that we did, and I'd sing the melody first, and then I'd go to the bass part, and then I'd go to the tenor part, and then I'd sing the alto part on the fourth verse, if there was four verses. So I learned to sing here. The first time I was up in front of a group of people was here with a pitch pipe. It was my dad's pitch pipe, and the first time I ever conducted was here at Franconia Mennonite Church. When I went and joined with Pastor Earl Anders' work in Lansdale, Covenant Community Fellowship is what it became. I went and I had learned to play the guitar since then. I remember I was kind of a black sheep of the family because, man, I love to play the guitar, and that wasn't happening here at that particular time. But anyway, all this to say that throughout my life, from the beginning, music has been the way in which I expressed, one, personal worship, and two, one in which I was able to lead in worship for other people, both teaching people how to worship and also teaching people the musical skills that are necessary. I have a life vision statement, which I'm going to say for you. It's, I am committed to the identification, development, and empowerment of the Christian artist to lead in the praise and worship of God and to communicate the timeless truths of Jesus clearly, relevantly, without distraction. So that's what I'm about, and I use music for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's invite the worship team on up here and share a special piece of music. Thanks, Jay, for sharing your story like that.
I threw my pick before the first song, so I went and picked it up now. Okay. So, two, three, four. This is a song about the faithfulness of God and our ability to trust Him no matter where we are. It's a pretty easy song, pretty straightforward. So, if you want to listen to the chorus and the verses as you learn it, go ahead and sing along, because it's a great thing to declare. Be still and know that the Lord's in control. Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall. I won't be afraid. You are. You silence all my fears. I won't be afraid. You don't let go. Be still my heart and know. So I choose to trust you, God. Be still and trust what the Lord has said is done. Find rest, don't strive. Watch as faith and grace align. I won't be afraid. You are here. Silence all my fears. I won't be afraid. You don't let go. Be still my heart and know. I won't be afraid. So this bridge goes, surely love and mercy. All right, come on, let's sing that.
Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me, will follow me. Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness, you'll follow me. Will follow me, will follow me. surely love and mercy, your grace and kindness will follow me, will follow me.
All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for your word, God. Amen.
Which one?
Thanks, Mark.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and go on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you, Jesse, for reading our scripture for us this morning. If you can hear my voice, raise your hand. If you're kind of hot, raise your other hand. All right, a bit of perspective for you. We had 2 pregnant women up here leading worship earlier, so they know what it's like to be hot in the heat of the sun here. So props to them. It is good to be together. If you were here last Sunday for our first outdoor in-person worship, you might remember Pastor Mark began his message by commenting on how good it felt as the preacher to have real live people to be preaching to, right? After preaching to a camera for 3 straight months, he said it felt really good to actually have real people here in front of us. Yep. And he's right about that. This does feel good. This feels better than preaching to a camera. In fact, this feels so good that I'm going to do something that I have only done one other time in my 8 years here at Franconia. I'm going to lead us in a song. Okay, now, I know Jay's the special guest worship leader. I'm not trying to step on his toes, all right? And this is not on the official order of worship for the morning, but we're outside. Things are a little bit looser. So I'm going to lead us in a song. Now, this is not a solo. You all have to join me in this song, okay? I want to be clear about that. Mark says we like the solo. You're not the preacher today, Mark. We're going to do a joint song. And for this song, I'm going to come walk over here. because this song involves a certain person who happens to turn 6 years old today. My daughter, Selah Ann. It is her sixth birthday today. So, Selah, can we sing a birthday song to you? Okay, join with me, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Selah. Happy birthday to you. Good job, girl. Give me five. All right. They're honking for you, G. All right, perfect. Thank you. That was a bit of a personal indulgence. Thank you for helping me with that. I would also be remiss if I did not mention Paul Aldifer, John Nice Sr., Ray Ramos also have birthdays today. So happy birthday to all of y'all. All right, so the parable that Jesse read for us. I do not mind saying this publicly. This is one of my least favorite parables in the entire Bible. You may have seen that in the midweek email. This is not a favorite passage of mine. But this is a passage that I need to hear. This is a passage that I need to be reminded of often. And I think the same is true for many of us. So you remember how the story goes. There is a landowner who needs to hire some workers for his vineyard. So he goes out first thing in the morning, and he hires a bunch of people to work in the vineyard. He strikes a deal with them. I will pay you a denarius. That was a day's wages back then, the equivalent today of about $20. That's a fair price for a day's work back then. So they agree to work a full day for $20. A couple hours later, the landowner realizes he needs some more work, some more helpers. And so he goes back out and he hires some additional people. A couple hours later, we're now at 12 noon, the same thing happens. He realizes he needs more work. He goes out and he hires more workers. A couple hours later, 3 o'clock, same thing happens. He needs more work. He goes out and he hires more workers. And then finally, at the end of the day, 5 o'clock, 1 hour before quitting time, he goes out and he hires a final crop of workers. They start working at 5 o'clock, and they work till 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is quitting time for everybody. So everybody stops working at 6 o'clock. A couple things to note at this point. Notice in the text, it is only the first group. It is only the workers who started at 6 in the morning that the landowner agrees on a specific payment. Okay, they agree to work for a denarius. Everybody else, he just says, I'll pay you whatever is right. Okay, so there is an established rate only for the first group. Notice also this: the group that is hired last, the group that doesn't start working till 5, they did not work a short work day by choice. Okay? It is not because they didn't want to work that they worked the short day. They just hadn't been chosen to work earlier. Right? So laziness is not the issue for this final group. The fact that they're still out there at 5 o'clock trying to get hired proves this group wants to work. They just hadn't been selected until 5 o'clock when the landowner hires them to work for that final hour. So they work from 5 to 6. 6 o'clock comes, everybody stops working. At this point, the landowner pays that final group, the group who only worked for 1 hour, he pays them first. And amazingly, shockingly, generously, he pays them a denarius. He gives them an entire day's wages, even though they only worked for that 1 hour. So naturally, those who had started working at 6 in the morning, those who worked the full day, they saw this and they thought, well, shoot, if they got a full day's work for an hour, we're probably going to get more than that. And when that doesn't happen, when they also receive a denarius, $20, which again is what they agreed to work for, but when they receive the same amount, they get upset. They begin to grumble. The text tells us they grumble against the landowner and they say, well, you've made them equal to us. They worked an hour. We did the brunt of the work. We worked in the heat of the day. We deserve more. And I got to be honest with you. I think they're right.
I agree with the full day workers. If I were in that situation, I guarantee I would respond in exactly the same way. I'm not proud of that. I'm not advocating that. I'm just telling you, I know myself well enough to know if I were in their shoes, I would absolutely be grumbling against the landowner. But sir, with all due respect, that isn't fair. And yet that's what the landowner does. And that is why this is one of my least favorite parables. Because let's be honest, it just isn't fair. So, that's the story Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. So what does that story teach us? What does this story reveal about who God is and about how we are called to respond as followers of Jesus? A couple things I want to point out. And there are some points on your outline. If you want to follow along, you may do that. Observation number one is this. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. Notice again, the full day workers, those who started at 6 in the morning, at the end of the day, they received $20. That is exactly what they expected, exactly what they were promised, exactly what they were hoping for. That is, until they started comparing what they received to what somebody else received. It's the moment they began comparing that discontentment set into their hearts and they began to grumble. If that first group of workers didn't even know what the others had received, they would have been completely satisfied. But they did, and so they weren't. Because comparison is the thief of joy. I'll tell you a story to illustrate what that's like. One of the first times I remember in my life learning this lesson that comparison is the thief of joy. I was in middle school, somewhere around 13 years old. I had, at that point in my life, never owned a jersey before. Like an Eagles jersey, Sixers jersey. I never owned a jersey before, and I decided, man, I need a jersey. And so I started asking my parents months ahead of time. I started asking my parents for a Sixers jersey for Christmas. That's all I wanted for Christmas that year was a Sixers jersey. A couple months later, Christmas rolled around and mom and pops came through. That morning, I opened up my present and I received my coveted Sixers replica jersey. Now, I noticed when I said that, none of you gasped out loud. But that's what I did when I received that gift, because this was, I have to tell you, a much bigger gift than we usually received, all right? These replica jerseys, these joints cost like $60 each, okay? And so for me, as a kid, getting a $60 jersey, I felt like the luckiest kid in the world. I couldn't wait for Christmas break to be over so I could go back to school and show off my $60 Sixers replica jersey. So Christmas break ended. I rushed off to school. I'm telling you, I ran into the building. I tore my winter coat off like I was a superhero to reveal my $60 Sixers replica jersey. And you know what? My friends were impressed. They loved it. It was a sweet jersey. And I walked through the hallways of middle school that day feeling like a king. Until I got to the cafeteria at lunchtime. I got to the cafeteria at lunchtime, I walked in, and I saw another kid in the cafeteria over by his lunch table. I still remember his name, Jerry Hess. Jerry Hess had also received a Sixers jersey for Christmas, but his was not a $60 replica jersey. His was an authentic game jersey. These are like identical to the ones the players wear on the court. Just by comparison, these authentic game jerseys cost like $300. Which, can I tell you, as an aside, why would you buy a middle school kid a $300 shirt? That is crazy to me. Anyway, Jerry Hess showing off his jersey to all of his friends, and he's showing off these hand-stitched letters and numbers, not the screen-printed ones like mine. His jersey pulled and stretched just like we saw on TV. His jersey had this tag which proved it was an authentic game jersey. All of a sudden, my $60 replica jersey didn't seem quite as impressive. In fact, not only did it not seem as impressive, I'm telling you, I remember in that moment actually feeling embarrassed. Embarrassed at my pitiful replica jersey, which was nothing compared to his authentic game jersey. This jersey that I had spent months asking for and anticipating, that I had rejoiced over when I received, that I had worn proudly up until that very moment, suddenly didn't quite measure up. Compared to his, mine wasn't as impressive. It's one of the first times in my life I remember learning this lesson that comparison is the thief of joy. And friends, I think we do that kind of thing all the time. We spend so much of our lives in comparison, don't we? Wondering if we have what somebody else has. Do I make as much money as he does? Is my house as nice as hers is? Are our kids as successful as theirs are? Have you ever asked yourself those kinds of questions? I think many of us have. Why does that person drive a better car than me? Come from a better family than me? Have a better name than me? Why do they have a prettier face than I do? Or fit into clothes that are slimmer than mine? Why do they take such better trips than I do? Why do they enjoy a more comfortable lifestyle than I do? We spend so much of our time in comparison, and it robs us of joy. The Bible says it this way. The Bible says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Proverbs 14:30. That's what we see in the parable that we looked at today, right? The full day workers, when they compare what they have to what someone else got, that's when envy sets in. Verse 15, the landowner says, are you envious because I am generous? Envy rots the bones. Maybe another way we could say it would simply be to say it like this. Where we look determines what we see. That's the next point on your outline. Where we look determines what we see. So I'll just illustrate this in really basic terms. If I look over here, guess who I'm going to see? All of you. And if I turn my attention, if I change what I fix my eyes on, and I look over here at the wise people sitting in the shade, what do I see if I look over here? I see you. I know this is fairly earth-shattering. Try to keep up, okay? Where we look determines what we see. And if I'm here looking at them, focused here, it necessarily means I'm not looking over there. Where we look determines what we see. And I think the same thing is true when it comes to comparison. Where we look determines what we see. And so if we are constantly fixing our eyes on what someone else has, well, then that's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to notice. That's what we're going to pay attention to. And if we spend all of our time noticing what someone else has, we will be unable to see what God has blessed us with. Comparison is the thief of joy because comparison almost always leads to envy. And as we've seen, envy does not lead to life. Envy rots the bones. Envy does not lead to lives of contentment and joy. Envy rots the bones. Envy doesn't produce faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Envy rots the bones. And perhaps most importantly, envy prevents us from loving other people. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is incompatible with envy. Verse 4, love does not envy. So think about that. Love and envy are mutually exclusive. That's the next point on your outline. You cannot love someone if you are envying them. You can't do both at the same time. And so if we spend our time envying other people, we are incapable of loving them, which is the only thing that we are called to do, right? To love God and to love others. I think this is why James says what he does. James 3:16 says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Don't miss the significance of that. Every evil practice, James says, rooted in envy. Because where there is envy, there cannot be love. And where there is not love, evil is sure to lurk. Love and envy are mutually exclusive. So Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out to hire workers for his vineyard. Can you see why I dislike this parable so much? Can you see why I need this parable so much? I need this story because it forces me to acknowledge the grip that envy has on my own heart. It forces me to recognize my definition of fairness and God's desire to be generous are often at odds. And it forces me to confront the idols in my own life. I'm wondering if this story does the same for any of you. But you know, all of that leaves an unanswered question. And I know it's hot. I got 2 minutes left. Hang with me. All of that leaves an unanswered question. If comparison is the thief of joy, then who or what is the giver of joy? Like if a heart at peace gives life to the body, then man, where can we experience that kind of peace? If where we look determines what we see, then where should we be looking? Where should we be focused? Where should we be fixing our eyes? Well, Scripture answers that question for us. In Hebrews, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then watch this. Watch the end of this verse. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, one of the dirty little secrets of comparison, one of the dirty little secrets of envy is not only does it rob us of joy, it is actually an exhausting way to live. It is exhausting to live our lives constantly in comparison with other people. And Scripture says when we consider Jesus, that is when we look to Jesus, when we focus on Jesus, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we consider Jesus, that's when we do not grow weary. That is when we do not lose heart. And so ultimately, church, my word to you today, my word to us today is not try really hard not to be envious. Try really hard to just be content with what you have. Try really hard not to get wrapped up in the comparison trap. No, that is not the message today. The message is fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the source of our joy. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who provides the kind of peace that leads to life. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the creator and sustainer and savior of our souls. My word, church, for us today, and frankly, any time we get up here to preach the gospel, is to fix your eyes on Jesus. And so I want to end this morning. I began with kind of a joke about me leading a song. I actually want to end with a song, not a song that I'm going to sing, but I want to share the words of a song with you. As kind of a closing prayer for this message, but also a regular prayer that I hope we would incorporate into our lives. It's a very simple hymn. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Let's pray. Lord God, I pray for us that we would turn our eyes upon you, that we would look to you, that we would consider you, that we would focus on you and look full in your wonderful face. God, I pray that as we do that, we trust that as we do that, that the things of this earth, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the propensity we have to constantly compare ourselves with others, God, that that would melt away, that that would dim in comparison to your goodness and your mercy, your forgiveness, your salvation, your glory, and your grace. We pray these things in the strong, powerful, healing name of Jesus. And together, everybody said, amen.
Would you all stand up and let's sing together? Lord, I come,
I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my defense, my righteousness,
Please be seated. Before our sending, I would just like to highlight, as Pastor Mark prayed in our prayer, that the senior high are leaving this afternoon for our service trip to Spruce Lake. So some of you may know, we should actually be in Mexico right now. We would have flown out yesterday, but we decided to push that trip to next summer. And when for a long time, when we didn't think we were going to have a service trip, we're very thankful to the staff and the folks at Spruce Lake for hosting us this week to give us an opportunity to serve. So just real quick, I'm just going to ask the youth and sponsors that are going, that are here today, just to stand up so the folks here can see who's going to be going. So just go ahead, senior hires and sponsors. So we have some back there, some over here. So we just ask for your prayers this week, prayers for safety as we travel, prayers throughout the week, that we continue to have a determination to serve the Lord and the folks at Spruce Lake. And we just really appreciate this opportunity that we are able to have. You guys can sit down. Thank you. By way of sending, take these words with you, my friends. May we not compare ourselves to physical or material things. May we look to Jesus, because God, in his mercy, accepts all people when they turn to him, no matter how early or late in life. Go in peace.